We said all those things, Lord, just declaring the glory of your name. That you are the God that makes impossible things possible. You are the God of all grace. You are the God who loves to do good things for your people. Father, thank you for all these testimonies that we have shared. And Lord, we are so excited because you are just starting with us. Father, we just give you praise. We give you worship. We give you adoration. Thank you for where you've started with us. Thank you for what you're doing with us in the now. Thank you for the thing that you do with us, for us, and through us in the days to come. We declare over our city. We declare over our church. We declare over our lives. Let thy kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Speak through me and cause your people to hear the voice within the voice, that they will not just see me, that they will see Christ. They will see you. Thank you, wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is the part two of the message I started last week. Somebody said, well, that message was for Easter. The truth of the matter is that Easter should be every day for you. Hello, somebody. Because it was never meant to be an event. Religion turned it into an event celebrated once a year. You should be celebrating it every day because it's about the resurrection of Christ. So this morning, I'm going to conclude that message entitled The Power and the Blessing of His Resurrection. I told us last week, or I asked us last week, to define resurrection. What does resurrection mean? Why is that? Because understanding resurrection, or without understanding resurrection, you cannot experience the power thereof. Hello. It's not an event, you know, that is celebrated once a year. It's what is supposed to be a lifestyle, something that you live out regularly on a daily basis. So what is resurrection? Resurrection means, what does it mean? It means what? It means what? A renewal? It means what? A revival. Well, is that all that it means? Just means renewal or revival? I'm not saying you're wrong. But is that what, there's something vital that you've not included. What? Whatsoever is dead, that is vital, is newness of life, giving new life to dead situations, giving new life to dead circumstances, giving new life to dead part of your of bodies, giving new life to dead businesses, whatever area that is dead, whatever area has been struggling under the grip and the dominion of death, can be revived through the release of the power of God's resurrection. That's what the Bible says, that he transferred us from the dominion of darkness and what did he do? Delivered us in the kingdom of his own dear son. Do you know when he announced for the first time, I am the resurrection, he has not gone to the cross? When he stood and told Martha and Mary and Martha, he said, I am. He said, your brother Lazarus will rise up in the last, will rise again. And Mary said, I know he will rise up in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus looked at her. He said, Mary, you are not getting it. Mary, you are not getting it. You are so looking to the future. You are looking for the future. He said, I am. Meaning, right now, resurrection power is present. And I want to announce to you, right now, resurrection power is present. Whatsoever is dead, those things don't move me. Oh, look at this condition. Look at this situation. They don't move me. I am looking for the release of the power of his resurrection. The power and the blessing of giving new life to that which is what has been dead. Giving newness of life to revive. To revive. Can death stand in the face of life? No. That is why death could not hold him captive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll now take you to Matthew 45. For 3 hours beginning at noon, a sudden and unexpected darkness came over the earth. Why did that happen? Because the Son of God, remember, he said, I am the light of the world. The Son of God was carrying the sin of humanity. And for the first time, there was a separation between what? Between the Son and his Father. And because of that, the Bible says sudden darkness swept over the entire earth. Let me tell you something. You can what? The world is saying we don't want Jesus. We will delete him from the from whatever, the syllabus and this and that. Yes, there's no problem. If you delete him, then be prepared for the darkness. Then prepare for the darkness. The darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. And you know what? I told us last week that they don't have what? They don't have AGL in heaven. Hello? Somebody said true energy is cheaper than AGL. You don't need all of that in heaven. Why? Because there's perpetual light shining from the sun. He is the light of heavens. So when he came to the earth, he became the light of the world. And when you receive him to your life, there's light shining. That's why I love that song. We live in the light. We speak the light. We wear the light. Light be. Light be. Many years ago, somebody was sharing this. There was some demonic attack to some of us in the family. And he said, and this person suffered under tremendous attack. But while we were praying, he said, this has been so serious attack on you. I said, the same forces that attacked you also attacked, and they mentioned my name. So, but the thing could not come because there was an unapproachable light coming from him. Why? Is it because I go about putting fluorescent here, putting fluorescent there, putting fluorescent here, putting fluorescent here, and somebody said fluorescent is not good enough, putting fog light, halogen, that is not the light we're talking about. It's because Jesus, the light of the world, is living inside of me. You know, and they tried. They said it was a light that darkness could not overcome. Shining forth, shining forth, shining forth. Jesus remains the light. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. He is the light of the world. And if you belong to him, he is also what? Is your light. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. Number two. These are the things I shared last week. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a mighty voice in Arabic. I'm reading from TPT. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is remarkably, I told us, the only time in the Synoptic Gospel where Jesus addressed God without calling him Father. The first time that he did that. In fact, the only time he did that. Because after he rose from the dead, Father. And why did he do that? Why did he call him God? Why? Because of what? Because of the sin he was carrying. Not his own sin, but what? Your and my. That was carrying on his body. And sin would always cause separation. For all have sinned and fallen what? Short. Sin will always cause you to fall short. There's no flourishing without where there's sin is abounding. That's why the Bible says, where grace, where what? Shall we continue in sin and expect what? The grace to abound? No, grace does not abound when we continue in sin. Amen. I understand. Don't let the enemy put you under condemnation and say you did this, you did that. If you've asked him for forgiveness, he's washed away your sin. But the thing is this, we must not continue in sin. We must not make it a practice. That is where the issue is. That's where the problem is. In fact, there are some things because of the blood that is being shed is constantly washing you clean. But Jesus stood there because all the sin was carrying. He could not find the Father. He looked up. There was no word access. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I told you that when he said, my God, what was he saying? Was he just quoting some good words? Was he writing a poem and said, let me write this for them? No. He was quoting scriptures. Learn to respond. Number three, learn to respond in the world. Number one, Jesus is the light. Let that be settled in your heart. Jesus is the light of the world. When you are walking in him, you are walking in light. When you are walking away from him, be prepared for darkness. Number two, when Jesus said that, it was the only time that he called the Father God, not his Father. Why? Because of separation caused by sin. Sin will always cause separation. It will not allow you to access the Father. It will give the enemy doorway into your life. It will cause you to fall short. Hello, somebody. Sin will cause you to fall short in every area of your life, and especially in your finances. Watch it. If you are somebody walking in strife, that is somebody that will be perpetually broke. If you're somebody walking in what? Strife. That's someone that will be what? Perpetually broke. There's strife, divorce, increase. That is why I will never engage. If you want to continue in your fight and whatever it is, I'm gone. I don't have time for it because I want to continue to abound. Sin will cause you to fall short, and strife will shut down your finances. I'm not saying that. Let me take you to Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. Luke 6, that's a popular scripture that we read. Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. What does it say? What does Luke 6, 37, 38 says? Yes, can we have it? Look, judge not, and you shall not what? Be judged. This is not saying we can't correct ourselves. Because sometimes when we correct, we say, don't judge me. What does judgment mean? To condemn. We're not supposed to condemn one another, but we can correct one another. You can say, don't do this. This is not right. But when you now say, you know, you can't, don't do this, or you can't do that, you know, blah, 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 you condemn the person, he doesn't want us to condemn anyone. Because there's nobody that cannot be redeemed. Hello? He said, judge not, you shall not be what? Condemn not, you shall not be what? You shall not be what? Condemn. In fact, the word judge is the word to be damned. Damnation. That's the meaning of the word judgment. To damn a person. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be what? Forgiving. Then when you are forgiving others, and then God is also forgiving you of your own trespasses, then you can now give and to be what? So if you refuse to, if you take away forgiveness from others, say, I will never forgive you. Go and give anything you want to give. You have rooted out your increase. Because you say, forgive, and then you can now what? Do you remember Jesus said, if you bring your offering to the altar and you are dancing, and you are dancing and everything like that, and you are doing all over, and you, everybody come and see what I brought today. He said, if you remember you are walking in strife with your brother, leave your offering there. Quickly go. Why is that? So that you are not engaged in wasted effort. Leave it there. Go and settle with your brother first and then come back. Make sure that as long as it lies with you, I'm not any other person can engage. They can be fighting you. They can, but as long as it lies what? With you. You should do what? They may not greet you, but you make sure you greet them. Hello? Maybe they see you come and they do like this. They say, hello, how are you? And blessing you, hello, how are you? I just wanted to say hello to you. And then you go your own way. You don't have to be friends with the whole world. Hello, somebody. But make sure you're not walking in strife with anyone. And I can tell you, because things will happen, stuff will happen. Satan is a master in arranging circumstances. And it's not about them, it's about you. It's not about what? It's about you. Well, he knows that the moment he can get you to switch onto that strife, he's gotten you. He's gotten you. And the people might not have the revelation that you have. They might not know what you know. They might even be unbelievers the moment you yield to them. He was caught in the world. Learn to respond in the world. Number one, Jesus is the light. Number two, it was what? When he said that, you know, because of sin, cut off relationship. It will cut off your relationship. Number three is this. He was quoting the word. Whatever happens, find out what is God saying about it. What has God said about it? Make sure that your response is based on the word. Number four, what did I say? Let's go back there. Number four, that the cross was the place of ultimate sacrifice for sin and broken relationship with the Father. That is why he cried out, "My God, my God." He went there to what? To lay down his life. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. That is why sin and death cannot hold you captive. Hello, somebody. How does sin and death manifest today? A lot of time in sickness, in disease. Disease is the manifestation of death at work. That is why sometimes some sickness and disease ultimately lead to what? Death. So we can invite resurrection life and to handle that area of your life. Amen. And this morning, now get ready, because I want to bring this to conclusion. Amen. The entire thing about the cross. Who sent Jesus to the cross? Who? 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 I want to hear from you. You've been hearing from who? The chief priest and what? And the Sanhedrins. The chief priest and the Sanhedrins were the ones that sent him. There's no doubt about it, they played their part. They played their part. Who sent Jesus to the cross? The chief priests and what? And the Sanhedrins. How many of us agree with that? Nobody is agreeing. But you repeated it now. You said chief priests and Sanhedrin. So who sent Jesus to the cross? You are right, Angela. Nobody, if he was not willing. But who sent him to the cross? He cooperated with it. Okay. Now, let me take you to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. From verse 22, Acts 2, 22. Men of Israel, should I say this? Men and women of the city of refuge, hear these words. Let's continue. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of, by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God again raised Who raised him up? Raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So who sent Jesus to the cross? It was by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Because it was a total operation of God the Father. The Father sent him to the cross. And God the Father also what? Raised him up. It was a total operation of God. Yes, he yielded to the Father. Because the Son will do nothing except what he sees the Father what? Do. The Son will not just act on his own. In the same way, these are fundamental lessons in our walk with God. Number one, I've told you this before, the Father decides. The Father what? Decides. The Son what? Declares or yields to what the Father has decided. My dear ones, listen to me again. In your walk, in your life, in the things you do, find out what the Father has decided. Because the Father decides, and he does not just decide in time. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you and he ordained you. There are things that he had planned for you. Hello, somebody. There are things he has planned for you. There are things that he has ordained for you. You are not born into the family that you are born into by accident. Hello. You did not choose your parents. Praise God. They may not look like it. They may not be as good as you want them. But there's an investment in God in their lives that when you start to honor them, the grace of God that he has invested in them will flow into you so that you can become everything that God has ordained for you to become. You didn't choose your siblings. Amen. You did not choose your siblings. You did not also choose the land where you are born. Somebody say, I can choose my citizenship. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But how about where you are born? God does not make mistake. He gave birth to you. He sent you to where you are so that things will be deposited into your life for you to become. I can tell you in the same light that you can't choose your church. You can't. It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, so this and that. Oh, they didn't smile at me. Or all of those things. You don't choose your church. Those things have been predetermined for you. Why? Because there's an investment of God in the grace, in his grace given to the leadership in that place. So that through what they do, through the grace of God in your life, you can become. They can stand on your behalf, push back what the enemy is doing. They can also stand with you to receive what God has ordained for you. So when you walk away and you say, no, you walk away from destiny. You walk away for what God has predetermined and before what? The foundation of the earth. That is why many will not fulfill destiny. That is the reason why. Because they are not operating by the divine what? Purpose of the Father. They are not operating by that. They are operating just based on emotions. I like this. That is it. I don't like it. That is it. No. The Father what? Decides. The Son what? Declares. And the Holy Spirit what? Executes. Let me take you to Colossians chapter number 2. It was the issue of Jesus Christ dying on the cross was determined by the Father. He said, it's not time to go and save humanity. You are to go. And the Son said, what? What did the Son say? Let us debate. Is that what he said? Let us debate. Who will do what? No. What he just said? Yes, sir. And he was ready to go. Colossians chapter 2 from verse number 12. Colossians 2 from verse number 12. Let me read Colossians 2 from verse number 12. What does it say? Why am I taking this? To make this very clear to you. Make it clear to you. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we are raised with him. When we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This death realm describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp. But now, what happened? We've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. for we are forever alive and forgiving. Let me read it to you from the New King James. New King James. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him. Through faith in the working of who? Who is the one at work? Who is the person at work? The working of God is the operation of God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all, and having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15. Then what did he do? He disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. Don't ever forget this. When it comes to Easter, who ordained it? Who planned it? Who determined it? Who? Human, whatever, was just working according to divine plans and divine purpose. Amen. Number six. What happened when he rose from the dead? Because this must be very, very clear to us. What happened when he rose from the dead? Hello? Let's go to John 20. Very early Sunday morning, before sunrise, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the womb was moved away. So she went running as fast as she could to go tell Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. She told them, they've taken the Lord's body from the tomb, and we don't know where he is. Verse 3. Then Peter and the other disciple jumped up, and they ran to the tomb to go see for themselves. They started out together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Who was this other disciple? John, thank you. John. Verse 5. He didn't enter the tomb, but peeked in, because when his little child gets to where fear is, fear will, he said, fear will carry the child. He got there. He stood down, but he could not enter in because he wasn't sure. He didn't know what would happen. He wasn't sure. He didn't know. And then verse number 6. Then Simon Peter. You know, Simon Peter was the oldest of all the disciples. He was far older than John. John was about 21. He was about 55. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he went in to the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there. What did he look at it? He saw what? What does that mean? That is talking about when you wake up in the morning and then you throw the bed. You throw the what? The bed sheet. You just throw it, just lying there. Not laid, but lying there. But look at it. And went into lined, but folded. But now, not the, and the handkerchief. Listen now. The handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded. The handkerchief was what? Folded, like this. Folded. The handkerchief was folded. And what did he do with the handkerchief? And then he placed it by itself. The clothes were what? Thrown aside. But the handkerchief was what? Folded. He was telling them something. There was, at that time, and maybe up till now, they had a tradition. How often would Jesus walk with the culture of the land to pass across a message to them? That's why he kept telling them parables. What are parables? Earthly story with what? Heavenly meaning. They had a tradition at that time that when a Jew would go and visit another family, after you've been served a meal, if the meal was very bad and the meal wasn't well prepared, or you didn't enjoy it, you didn't like it, you know, instead of you know, this is what they would normally do. They wouldn't want to insult the host so that they wouldn't just, they won't just put down all the effort of that woman who had labored, but they would gradually fold the handkerchief and they would put it by the plate. It's just to show the host that I didn't like this and I would never return to eat this meal again. So when Jesus did that, he was saying that I have died once and for all. This will not happen again. I've shed his blood, because they were used to going every year to present the blood. But he said, this one has been done once and for all. It will never happen once again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when they saw it, something ministered, because they understood the tradition. They said, wait a minute, what is happening here? But still, let's continue. Verse number 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and he saw. And then he what? So he believed. The process had just started. Verse number 9. For as yet they did not know the scripture. So they didn't remember the scripture, but there's something that they saw in their culture, in their tradition, that pointed something out to them. And for as yet they did not know. Verse number 10. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb. I want to tell you, don't give up. The disciples went back, but she stood. He stood weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Verse 12. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. 13. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know. I do not know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Why? Why didn't she know? Something had taken place. Yes. She wasn't expecting that. Number two, she was not just in this natural body. She was now in a body that was filled with glory. Filled with glory. What is now in that body? Something is missing. There's still flesh, there's still bones, but the blood is gone. And he said to them, sir, she said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom you are seeking? He's supposing him to be the gardener. And he said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said, Mary. Because only him could call her name. I'm telling you, if he calls your name, you will recognize the person talking to you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. She said, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say what? Teacher. And 17. And she wanted to cling to him. And he said, no, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but to go to my Father. What did he say on the cross? My God. But when he rose again, is now what? Relationship has been what? Restored. My Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my, and your, and to my, and your. Did he mention Father on the cross at all? No. Let's go. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. She had seen the Lord. But why didn't he say, do not what? Cling to me. Because something else was yet to be. What was that? What was still remaining for him to do? What is it that he has not done? He said, don't touch me yet. I still have an assignment, because he was what? What? No, he went to hell. He had finished the business with hell. That is why he could rise from the dead. No, but there's something else. What? Oh, because when Adam sinned, everything had been polluted. Not just the earthly sanctuary, but the heavenly utensils of worship have been polluted. And he said, no, I need to fix that too. Why? So that the New Testament can come into operation. And the Bible says he ascended to heaven. Hebrews chapter 9, quickly. He went to heaven. I want to show you some things there. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse number 1. He went to heaven. Hebrews 9 from verse number 1. And then indeed, even the if you have a Bible like mine, what is the title there? The what? The earthly sanctuary. And then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service. And the earthly what? For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, or the holy place, which are the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, and overlaid on all sides with gold, in which was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that brought it, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. What was in that place? Number one was what? Manna. Number two was what? Aaron's rod that brought it. Number three was what? Tablets of stone representing the Ten Commandments. What does that mean? What does the manna mean? Provision. And then what does Aaron's rod mean? Authority. Then how about the Ten Commandments? The instructions of the law. What was that meant to do for us? You cannot lay hold on what? Provision. Without what? Applying the instruction of the word of God that will give you authority to lay hold on your provision. The answer to everything you are looking for is in the word. And Jesus said, the word I speak to you, they are life. And did you remember I said to you that it's not money that you need? What do you need? It's the spirit dimension that you need. Because it will open the veil to you. You will have understanding. If you are giving, if you have something that you do not have the authority to carry, even if somebody has gotten it for you, you need to quickly come into that understanding yourself. Because a time is coming, the enemy will return. To want what? You are not going to have that. To want to steal it. Don't forget, it comes to what? To what again? And to destroy. So he went in. Now, let's quickly continue. Verse number 6. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went to the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But the second part of the high priest went alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin, committed in ignorance, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way to the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While the first tabernacle was still standing, it was symbolic for the present time, in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered. We cannot make him who performed the service what? Perfect in regard to conscience. Let's go to verse 11. But Christ, the story has changed. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. This is what he did. He ascended to heaven. And he entered behind the veil, holding his what? His own blood. The high priest would normally go in holding the blood of goats and bulls. But he entered in holding his own blood. The blood that was what? Perfect, without sin. And he used the blood to cleanse all the utensils of worship there. With that, when he's finished that, the new covenant was instituted. The entire thing was concluded. Now, he now returned back to the earth. But let me continue. And now, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, speaking the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of what? Isn't that what we've been looking at in the Bible study? The promise of eternal. You can't receive the promise of eternal inheritance if you are not first of all born again. If you have not been washed by the blood of Jesus. Many years ago, over 30 years ago, this happened to me. I remember my song then. I found a new way of living. I found a new life in Christ. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, He has made of mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding in abiding. I realized I was born again. And I went after my number one problem then. What was it? Malaria. Malaria was a major affliction for me. Every month I would go down with malaria, maximum 6 weeks. And by the time you take chloroquine or you take whatever it is, I'll be itching. I tried fancy that. It did not work. I said, now I'm born again. Oh, malaria fever. I was ready for it. I went after it. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can't stay here again. In the name of Jesus Christ. And quite interestingly, he came again the way he usually would. He didn't know that something had happened. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in abiding. He thought it was the same she. He thought it was the same person. He came knocking again. Because he would knock and then he would do what? He would hit like this and I would do like that. He would hit like that and I would do like that. And then I would, but it was the same person. He now came, did like, and I faced him. He said, what has happened? Something has happened. And I kept singing, I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. And of course, who won the battle? I did. He ran. He didn't just run. He what? He fled. That something has happened. That is what will happen to you when you found this new way of living. When you receive Christ into your life and you are not just involved with religion. Thousands are involved with religion. But when you receive Christ and you found him and you are part of the new covenant, what happens is this. The authority is delivered to lay hold on the provision that you need in your life. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's prayer, it's finances. Whatever it is. It is the new covenant that will deliver to you the authority to lay. I must be ready. Sometimes it will try you. Sometimes it will stand toe to toe to you. But having done all, stand. If you stand, you will return to share your testimony. Rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. We found a new way of living. Hallelujah. Just thank God for this word this morning. Thank God for this word. Thank God for the word you've heard. Thank God for the word. I thought we'd be able to finish it. We are going to part 3 next Sunday. We didn't finish it. part 3 next Sunday. Oh, Makato. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. The first two things that we're going to pray about this morning and we'll close. Number one is this. If you are not born again, if you are not sure you are born again, I want to pray for you. This authority cannot be yours if you don't receive Christ into your life and make him your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life to him. I want to pray for you this morning. Let's respect and reverence the presence of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to be born again. You want to rededicate your life to him. Lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Oh yes, thank God. Thank God. Thank God for all the hands that were lifted up as you rededicate your heart to him. Rededicate your life to him. I want you to pray after me. Heavenly Father, I've come this morning, haven't heard your word, to give my heart and rededicate my life to you. Lord Jesus, reign in my life, rule in my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. I am a child of God. I am born again. I'm not just involved with religion. I am special to God. I'm part of a chosen generation. Holy priesthood. God's own nation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget the power and what? The blessing. Understanding will listen to life, the power, and following that will be the blessing. I want to pray for you again this morning. What is it that you want to release resurrection life into? Is it an area of your body that is going through challenge? Is it an area of your life that is going through some problems? Is it your business or whatever it is that you want to say, oh, I want the resurrection life of Jesus to come in and touch it and touch it and turn it around in the name of Jesus Christ. The resurrection life of Jesus. Oh, I want it. I want it. I want you to lay your hand, whatever area. And if there's nothing to lay on, I mention it. I said, Lord, concerning my body, concerning my, this mention, or maybe it's even concerning your daughter, or concerning that area of your life. Oh, I want you to go ahead and just and talk to that. And mention that before heaven this morning. Mention that area before heaven. That area that needs, maybe it's your relationship. Maybe it's relationship with your children, or relationship with your spouse, or maybe it's your business, or maybe it's concerning your work, that you find, I don't like the way things are going. Father, I'm asking resurrection life to touch it. Maybe it's concerning your body. You need healing there. You need healing there. The resurrection power of God is present this morning. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your two hands to heaven to connect with him. To connect with him, because the power is coming. Resurrection life is coming from him, not from me. I am just standing here as a vessel to release that into your life in the name of Jesus. Whatever area that you're saying, I need resurrection life. Father, as many hands are raised and say, I need the resurrection life. I need the resurrection power. Father, I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, let the life and the power of your resurrection, Lord Jesus, be released now. Be released now. Be released now into these situations, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, resurrection life, resurrection power is hereby released now. Is hereby released now. Is hereby released now. Is hereby released now. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, I see a turnaround in the spirit. I see a turnaround in the spirit. I see a turnaround in the spirit. Father, thank you, because that area that has been mentioned, resurrection power, resurrection life is released into him to bring renewal, to bring revival to that area that seems dead, to that area that is giving your people concern, that area that they are struggling with. Resurrection power, resurrection life is released now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.